so he doesn't have to, like, roll them. That's very good.
Oh, the guy with the yellow signs there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ripping that shit out of his hand and throwing it and ripping it in half. He didn't even try.
Oh, no, that's when the majority of signs that are on TV is just someone with terrible handwriting putting words on it.
Yeah, that's right.
There is little to no effort to most of the signs that get on TV.
God. And it's like, what a self-absorbed douche. You know you're in the front row, and one, you have a sign. So, right there. But then...
It's a grown adult who does not seem to have children with him.
I was going to let that go, but you're absolutely right. just... He didn't even, like, use stencils, you know? Like, he just wrote on it. Like a serial killer. Like, that's terrible.
Well, at least a serial killer would have taken the time to cut the letters out of a magazine, maybe.
Yes.
They might have gotten a little creative. This is...
This guy was just in his car, and he stopped at, like, the local CVS or Rite Aid or whatever's around Walgreens. He's like, hey, where's your poster boards? All right, thanks. I need one Sharpie. Like,
yep. Ugh. That is the effort that went into that.
Yeah, that's awful. He should be banned from the AEW.
Well, it just looks so weird too. Just I feel like the sign era is mostly past us in general.
Don't forget the one we just saw. It says Sting and Darby. At least that was a kid. You know, kids are pretty much artistically worthless at that age. So that's acceptable. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing that just strikes me as odd, is that, yeah, like, I feel like most of the signs that I see are, like, you know, someone like us, where it's just, like, advertise wrestling website here.
Yeah, I don't want that sign, but at least that's something. Like, ugh. I'm just salty after that main event match. I liked it, but...
Oh, the opener with MJF and Cole?
Yeah, I liked it. You knew it was going to a time limit. Once it hit 20 minutes, I was like, oh, okay, it's going to time limit draw. Did they do a countdown for the end?
No.
Exactly. They do that all the time. They will say 10... They were saying 10 minutes, 20 minutes, that. But then when it got to the last 10 seconds, they usually count it down.
Yeah, there was, because I do feel like they normally start with like a 10 at worst or at highest, and maybe sometimes just at 5. And yeah, no countdown, so it felt a little more contrived than normal. You know, like you said, I'm okay. Like, that's one of those things that the WWE doesn't seem to like to do at all. But I do love that old WCW era, like early WCW era, the time limit draw matches.
Yes.
Yeah, they're really useful. Like, I mean, and it doesn't even need to be as high on the card as the one that just happened. Like, I guess it usually needs to be for a championship.
Man, I used to go, when we used to go to see him at the Richfield Coliseum in Cleveland, or actually Richfield, Ohio, but it was the old days. It was the 80s, no, 90s, yeah, 80s, 90s. And you would have, like, the Italian Stallion. Versus, trying to think, Coco Beware, just whatever, right? And it would be set for 10 minutes. And you would get draws. Like, even like Coco Beware and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel or something, you'd get a draw. And the crowd was pissed. Like, wait, this sucks. And then one guy would always go 5 more minutes, and the bad guy would be like, you want 5 more? Just like MJF did. And just like throwing someone out of ringside, it worked every time. No matter who the match was.
Yeah, I mean, Americans hated ties so much they got it thrown out of college football.
Yeah, almost in the NFL.
And almost in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, because even hockey, they have the shootout now.
Yeah, every American sport has adjusted their overtime to be less time and as direct as possible.
Well, I know you said American sport, because soccer here still ends in draws.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
Like, American soccer hasn't picked that up, but...
No.
It's...
And I don't think it's going to, just because world soccer does it that way. Like,
right. And I think there's too much of a... not world audience. What the hell am I looking for? Like, diversity in the audience that have watched soccer more than they've watched other sports.
Or at least are accepting of their rules.
yeah. Oh, you still get people like, this sucks. Like, yeah, well. It's just what happens. So,
but yeah, I mean, I do. I guess I do love a good wrestling draw. But no countdown, though. Yeah, that kind of made it feel a little bit weirder than some of the others because I joined the match a bit later and did not watch. I wasn't aware of the time limit aspect thing. And, yeah, you kind of expect, like, even a 5 minutes left kind of situation.
Or 1 minute.
Or 1 minute.
Even 30 seconds is fine, because then, like, it's used to build drama. Like, hey, you got 1 minute. Let's go. You got 30 seconds. Let's move it.
Like, yeah.
Just nothing.
No. So, yeah.
Sorry, this Darby Allin face is cracking me up. We're doing this on a Wednesday, so AEW is on. I don't know. I kind of like meddling Darby. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, the look on his face is not one that I feel I'm familiar with.
Yeah. Hey, did he get that tattoo up to his head, by the way? Or is that stencil like Jeff Hardy?
Oh.
I don't remember it going up that far.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that looks like tattoo. Haven't really paid attention, I guess.
That kind of sucks.
I mean, that's kind of badass. Like, I would imagine, because usually where there's less skin, it kind of hurts a little bit more. So I would imagine that felt pretty uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. So anyways, back to the time limit draw stuff. We have 45 minutes before Sting's going to get to the ring, so we got plenty of time. But...
Well, he automatically makes this whole segment less interesting.
It just does. At least no one's getting beat down yet.
I don't need to see a 70-year-old and a 55-year-old fight.
No. Is it like the early 2000s, late 90s? Wasn't that like a fetish video? You know, like bum fights and stuff?
Oh, my God.
God. Like... This is kind of what it is. If these two start swinging bats like lightsabers, man, I should have turned this off. But the time limit stuff is supposed to add drama to a match.
Yeah.
It's also a way – I'm trying to stay, keep on track. It's also – but I guarantee you, you're going to know if they start fighting with baseball bats. But if – like it's a good way to get out of having someone lose. Like I don't have a problem with the time limit draw. Aspect of how that match ended at all. But you can't just pull it out of the cheap and not do what you always do just for the cheap way out of it. It cheapened the end of the match.
No.
And that's why everyone was like, what? Like,
yeah.
It's been a long time since they've done a time limit draw as well. So they really needed to play it up. Like, all right, here we go. But I mean, they don't announce time limit draws or anything anymore, or time limits at all. This is scheduled for 20 minutes, and that's the last you hear of it.
Oh, yeah, it's just because, it's even the longer running matches, they might mention that when they start, because I'm trying to think if the WWE mentions the time limits. I know that AEW consistently does.
No, they've dropped those. They've dropped those totally.
Okay.
Never have a time limit, unless it's a Iron Man match. That's it.
Yeah, but I do feel like they have them in AEW.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't feel like the 15-minute matches and the ones that they know are going to go 15 minutes, like, I don't feel like they ever go, hey, this is the halfway, you know, to 30 minutes.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's like the inconsistencies, which is just what AEW is anyways. And because it's, and I know it's laughable, like, later on, we've got Toni Storm and Velvet, no, Blue Velvet? No.
Blue Sky?
Blue Sky. Sky Blue.
Sky Blue. We'll get it eventually.
Whatever. But it's like, all right, this match is scheduled for 30 minutes. And everyone's like, ah, whatever. And then it gets on 10 minutes, and you're like, oh, this is going a little bit longer. And they announce, 10 minutes has gone by. 10 minutes has gone by. And then it keeps going. You're like, 20 minutes has gone by. And you're like, wait, what the hell? And it gets, like, near third, and you're like, oh, my gosh, she's going to go the distance with it. Like, you know, expecting her to win, but at least it gives you some, like, rooting interest. Like, all right.
Oh.
She's really going for it. Maybe that's not going to happen, but.
Oh, no. I expect a fairly swift beat down.
Yeah. Now, imagine, I don't know if you remember Action Andretti.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, he came out on the better side of that Chris Jericho feud, huh?
Yeah. I thought he was hurt. My bad. No, he's not. He just isn't used. So,
yeah.
And it's like, that's quickly forgotten as well. But imagine there was a time limit on that match with Jericho. All this is happening. There's like 30 minutes. Everyone's like, ha-ha, or 20 minutes. Ha-ha, whatever. Oh. That match win a good amount of time, 15 minutes, something like that. And it's like, all right, so, I mean, it was designed for Jericho to lose to him, but
oh, right.
It made him look great. But if there's a time limit involved and it's getting down to the clock, you're like, hey, this jobber's actually getting really close. Like, you're just expecting the end. It's like, oh, okay, Jericho's going to win it any second now.
Yeah.
And he wins. You're like, whoa. Like, that's crazy. But.
Yeah, because it's. I go back to the John Cena one all the time with Kurt Angle, but you know it kind of gives you that type of a vibe even if you do get a draw.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just like, oh, they just hung with that. You know, for someone new, it's like, oh, they just hung with that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and at least got the draw and didn't lose to them. Like. 9 times out of 10, I feel like in that situation, they had a rematch, and they ended up losing that rematch.
Yeah, I think this is the first MJF title eliminator, whatever they call it. Non-title match, by the way. He's actually not won. I think he's won all of them. If I remember right. So I think this is the first one he actually didn't win. I mean, he didn't lose, obviously, but he didn't win either. So.
I did not realize that Sonata was the IWGP champion at the current.
No. Nor did I. So. Alright.
Breaking news to yours truly. To your host currently.
Why is Brian Cage dressed like Road Warrior Animal? I don't care. Anyways, my patience is really running out for this company. So, it's...
You're ready for another 2 hours of television on Saturday? Very well-produced television on Saturday.
Like, all right, if Orange isn't in an actual title match, why are you... why would you use him? And I know he's awesome, but if he's that hurt... Why are they putting him in a match, you know? Like, anyways.
That is bad person management by Tony Khan.
Yeah. But also, it also kind of, like, if they had to explain it, and they're all like, Orange, you're pretty beat up if you do this, he's like, yeah, it's all right. Something like that, then it'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it in that very Orange kind of way. Like, yeah, whatever.
Did you see the press conference after All In? And someone's asked if Orange Cassidy thinks he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
No, I don't think I saw.
He just pauses and he goes, no. No. It's like that. Then he goes, absolutely not. Thank you for asking. And I was like, that dude's humble as shit. What? Why was there a big no on the screen?
Oh, I missed it. I looked away. It was
big black letters that said no. It's like, oh boy. Anyways, but yeah, and I'm like, dude's humble because he's right now, it's not arguable. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world right now.
So. Oh, correct. Like, I don't know if people necessarily put him in number one, but yeah, he has, I mean, and we've talked about him together a lot. And there's no reason not to talk about him more, honestly. Like, he has, been one of the very consistently entertaining parts of AEW television recently. Yeah.
And I'll watch Darby and Swerve all the time. Orange and Swerve, no problem. Like, maybe I'm losing patience with this because I want to see the people I like more doing more awesome stuff. And
no,
I keep getting fed people I don't care about. I don't give a damn about anybody on the opposing team here, except for Swerve. So I gotta back off real quick. I don't care about Brian Cage and the Gates of Destiny or Destiny Gorillas or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the Gorillas of Destiny.
Is that what those other guys are really called?
I believe so, yeah.
No, Gates of Agony.
Gates of Agony. Oh, shit. Okay.
The Gorillas of Destiny were, they're from.
They're New Japan.
They were from New Japan. Duh.
Yeah. Whatever. It all runs together at some point.
Gorillas of Destiny. It doesn't even make sense, but it sounds cool. Anything with gorilla in it is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you've won me over with gorilla plus something else.
Yeah.
Gorilla glue, I'm in. Gorillas...
That shit works really well, too. You know?
Yes. Although, I guess in school, I used to use a product called Zappa Gap. I wonder how many just truly awful chemicals were in that that good old solution.
Shit, what do you think is in Gorilla Glue? God, we don't.
Yep.
No, that's all right. Don't worry about it. So. But no, like AEW, just watching this, they blow crowd shots. They blow camera shots, excuse me, and crowd shots all the time. Oh. Like, the big one in the very beginning of the match, Cole finally outsmarts MJF. He's standing there. He's down. You know what he's getting ready to do. And what do? They keep the camera on MJF's face. Like, they have the camera over shoulder looking, like the cool profile view of him with Adam Cole getting ready to do the baby thing, right?
Uh-huh.
And they cut to a close-up of MJF's face. And I'm like, are you guys high school students? Like, have you ever watched a television program? So, like, I always get my references so dated, but here's a new one. So imagine an Avengers Endgame. Everyone shows up. All of a sudden, you know, Captain America's got his shield, and then he, like, calls Thor's hammer, comes to him, right? And he's like, Avengers, and he goes, assemble. And as soon as he says assemble, or as he's saying assemble, they cut to a close-up of Thanos' face going, huh? It's bewildering how somebody who supposedly loves wrestling, knows wrestling, watches it, gets it wrong. And yes, WWE does it too, but they've gotten way better. AEW is not.
Because there was even a spot later in the match. Was it when Cole went for the second boom knee, where just all of a sudden they decide to cut the people in the crowd, and I'm just going, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah. Oh, I have to tell you real quick. Total aside, thinking of bad crowd shots. AAA this week's episode, or was it last week's, from Tijuana, is excellent.
Oh, okay.
That show is really good. So, just so you, I usually really kind of goofing on some parts of it. There is some bad stuff, don't get me wrong, but
no.
It's like Commander El Vikingo Black Tauros and somebody else are all in the same match. It's really good.
Actually is one of the draws of Rampage for me. Is that as much as I'm pro not pushing, like, I'm okay that Tony Khan likes working with other groups. I do think that it's still a little bit to his own product's detriment how frequently he likes to do this. But I'll tell you what, Commander, Vikingo, and someone else, and I'm trying to remember who it was, had a triple threat match on Rampage a couple of weeks ago, and I enjoyed the shit out of that thing.
Was it Bandito?
It might have been Bandito. Okay.
Yeah. So there's.
I'm going to look that up now, because I do know that I watched that.
One, you're absolutely right. There's no reason. Like, Forbidden Door is fine.
But
I don't want to see anybody else, though. Like, you already have far too many championships. So you don't have those. You know, you have guys on your own payroll that you don't use, but yet you're bringing in other people. Like, why?
It was Dralistico.
That's it. So, I think it was one of the mask guys. So,
yeah.
Well.
It was all, you know, it was for the AAA Mega Championship. So, yeah. I mean, it was all AAA guys. And, again, like, I enjoyed the shit out of that match. So, I am not going to be surprised if I enjoy the one that you're talking about that popped on YouTube.
Yeah. Now, believe me, there's the same clunky goofiness of some of the stuff. Like, maybe it's culture that they do this stuff, right? But at the end of one of the matches, one guy just gets beaten down by three men. And his teammates are just standing in the ring watching as they beat him up. And I'm like, just gonna let this happen? And they drag him up the aisleway, up the ramp, and are just beating on him up there. And then they pose over him, and I'm like, nothing? Like, not gonna go help the guy you're just partnering with? Like, okay.
Really just letting him hang out to dry here, huh?
And it is possible to do subtitles on YouTube. They just don't do it for those shows.
Oh, yeah. I know that it's possible.
They have a press conference for, like, the Tijuana shows.
Oh.
And you could go and turn subtitles to English. And it worked just fine.
Oh.
So they're just specifically not doing it for their shows.
Huh.
I don't know why. So, oh my god. That guy's 70, dude. Every time Sting falls to the ground, it's just like, that's like, is that patriotic? When you beat up an old person?
That did have a specific felony attached to it.
That's what I'm asking. No.
Yeah, well, I have forgotten everything that I learned in those 2 weeks. But there is a special class of felony for that. So, yeah, I don't know if it's I don't remember it being called patricide or anything that, you know, violent. Because, A, it's not death either, so.
Right. Oh, that's true.
But there is a special assault for that.
Well, I can see why.
That is pretty
rough.
What is it? Assault of a classified class. It was something like that. A classified group, maybe?
Oh.
Is what? It was something along those lines.
A hate crime?
I would imagine that maybe that...
Jesus. Like, why don't they just have a law? You can't beat up old people. Like, it doesn't need a special name. Just say, you're not allowed to beat up old people. The end. Anyways, but yeah, going back to AEW, though. But yeah, they need to start dropping people that they don't work for them. It's clearly not increasing the ratings. It's clearly not increasing attendance. Maybe overseas markets. I mean, I know Mexico is technically not overseas, but
yeah, I kind of forgot about the whole live attendance thing. That is one other reason that I'm like, man, I'm kind of bummed that I can't go to the Columbus show now just to like witness with my own eyes. I could try to just buy tickets and see what happens.
Yeah.
But I was hoping I would get them on the pre-sale that I am afforded for season ticket reasons.
Oh yeah, but yeah. No, it's their attendance has not been good.
Yeah.
Their ticket sales for Canada, well, we talked about this last week, aren't good either. So yeah, just. So they have problems, and they're all pretty easy to fix. These two bozos being on TV is not part of it, but you got to keep trying, I guess.
Just any consistent presentation with some people. Like, yeah, I don't think I'm ever really going to grow to love the gun club or whatever they call themselves these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, just feature them on TV. Like at some point you get used to them and you're like, okay, whatever, they're fine. And maybe that is their role in the long run, which is.
Well, yeah, I think you might have won me over, actually. I think them winning the tag titles is kind of what really soured things.
It just did not help them at all. Like they went from being an afterthought. To being champions, and it's just like, huh? Like, why?
Especially when the group they beat, the hottest act they had, maybe?
Yes.
Oof. Oh, boy. I mean, that's not pouring cold water on something. That is dropping it in the ocean and then putting it in the freezer. I mean, I know it doesn't work as a salt water. But goddamn.
And then peeing on it?
Yeah, sure. And then trying to set it on fire. I mean, boy.
Yeah.
I've never seen an act get destroyed so fast. For no reason. For absolutely no reason.
Uh-oh.
And I know that, well, they wanted FTR to win the titles. Then you already had a story built in where the Acclaimed and FTR, they had a match. The Acclaimed won. Move on. Like, you have two babyface teams. Let the crowd go. This, it happens anyways. They don't boo the bad guys as it is. So who cares?
Yeah, if that was logic that was put out there in the actual ether by AEW,
yeah.
That logic is flawed, to say the least. Because yeah. Like you said, like when their crowd actually boos, I'm shocked.
Yeah. Oh, that booing MJF, that was a surprise. Booing Don Callis just seems overkill, by the way. It's almost like they're telling everybody to do that. Why would you hate him that much?
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, he really did not. He screwed him over in a non-title match?
It wasn't even a title match. It was just a match.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. The stakes of the match itself were not terribly important. Like, you need to cost your family member something of value to get booed that hard.
Yeah, and I know it's like, you know, he's supposed to be like his son and all this stuff, but I don't know. My concept of time's always goofy anyways. It just doesn't seem like it's been that long, and I guess it's because they were together as bad guys. Kenny went away to get surgery and all that stuff. Then they come back, and he's been kind of around, but Kenny's changing. Like, I don't know. It didn't have the emotional effect that apparently does everybody else. I'm just okay.
Yeah, it's one where I'm like, Kenny's an adult?
Yeah.
You're not going to sell me on the whole second dad thing? Like, I guess I...
Yeah, I...
You know, I understand, but it's also, like, is like an adult man should be able to get over what Don Callis did. Because, again, like, he didn't... like, he screwed him over for a match. Like, you're going to be pissed about it, but...
I guess it's the backstory of, if you're invested in that backstory or believe it, then that's why. And I guess for me, I'm just like, I guess I just didn't. Like, I just... It's just a wrestling manager. And he was around, and he was... And, like, but Don Callis is always in meddling, so it's like, all right, why are you trusting this guy anyways? You know?
And I guess that's the other thing. Like, he has a proven track record to steer you off course. And I guess it is. It's one of those ones where, and the WWE kind of does this, where they almost... they take for granted that people like us are watching the product and know the history with these people. Their history, I'm not going to say it wasn't touched upon or wasn't even played up at times. Because, I mean, I remember that whole, when he split with the Bucks and there was was it a shirtless... portrait of him and Don Callis together. So, I mean, you know, I can't say they haven't had anything on TV that has shown their fondness for each other. I guess I still don't think it's been played up enough. And like you said, like the injury right before this for a long period of time, especially, like... you need a little bit of a refresher before something like this happens.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I guess he was around long enough, you know, taking bullets for him or whatever, but sure.
It lost a little resonance because of the off time, for sure.
For sure. But, yeah, I don't know. There's so many goofy things in this, like, we're like right now Wardlow and Jake Hager going, all right, cool, no build up, it just happens. And it's like, none of their titles have any build up for anything. Like MJF and Adam Cole, last week they talked, this week they wrestled. You know, it's not like there's like a real large amount of build up. So then like every title match is just like, all right, you get a shot, you get like Oprah, you know, like everyone gets a title shot, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And another thing I'd fix in AEW, no more old-time wrestlers.
You know, I feel like Arn Anderson has been okay with Wardlow.
Why does Wardlow need Arn Anderson, though?
He doesn't. I also feel like he's kind of brought a better part of Wardlow's character out for him. And now the whole fake gun situation is eye rolling.
Well, maybe that's his new thing for Unleash Brock Anderson. Who that poor guy is doomed. Just like Michael McGillicuddy or Curtis Axel, whatever they wanted to call him, he was doomed. There's something to be said. Like, Dominic Mysterio, I mean, at least he's doing something completely different than his dad ever did.
He better pattern himself completely different than his father, or else he's screwed.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm trying to think of a wrestler who followed, like, a significantly popular wrestler. And then their sibling, I'm sorry, their spawn, son or daughter, became bigger than them. I know I'm going to miss someone real obvious.
I mean, the only one that comes to mind for me that got bigger is Randy Orton.
True. I was also going to say The Rock and Rocky Johnson, but that's not really fair either. Like...
Rocky Johnson has some accomplishments to his name, but to put him, I feel like Bob Orton had a little more notoriety, I will at least say.
Well, Yeah, and I mean, it's just like even poor Rock's daughter.
Yeah, Ava Rain. Or are they just calling her Ava now?
They're just calling her Ava, but, you know, I saw someone defend them not saying that she is the Rock's daughter, and it's like, you know what? That's actually, their logic is kind of sound. I don't know if it was Dutch Mantel or whoever it was, but it was, hey, listen, she's not the Rock in any aspect, at least not so far.
Oh,
so
yeah.
As soon as you call her Rock, like Ava Johnson, whatever, I don't really know her first name. But if you call her Ava Johnson or, you know, whatever.
Right.
You're already giving them a certain expectation that she's going to be athletic, she'll be great. And it's like, yeah, I kind of see that, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they need to call any more attention to that. And it was something that I hadn't personally noticed, but I believe Chris brought it up on Twitter. And then I started paying attention, and I'm like, Ava Rain has done as little in the ring as humanly possible.
You got that right.
And, you know, I feel like she's been in developmental for a little bit of time at this juncture. I know that she did deal with a fairly major injury at some point. I don't know if that was an ACL or not. Can't remember.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
But I do remember her giving a I'll be back kind of speech. So, yeah, her developmental time's been interrupted some. But, yeah, it feels like you would expect her to maybe be a little bit further along than her amount of wrestling has shown the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know anything about her backstory. Like, was she an athlete? Like, you know, volleyball, basketball, any of that stuff, you know? Even Charlotte Flair had a gymnastics and a volleyball
yeah.
So, and I mean, I'm not – and obviously Charlotte's very good, very popular, and a star. She is. But even she's not touching her dad, you know? But at least she's having some success.
Yeah, she's not drowning in his shadow.
Right. Although it's nice to change some of the music up. She kind of does her own thing, but yeah, but her, like the Rock's daughter, specifically. No way, she becomes the Rock. And I know he'll totally disagree. But that's my girl. Like, I understand why you're saying that, but you know. You know.
Yeah, I mean, even at that stage, you go, oh, they've really got some potential. And I mean, every now and again, someone will surprise you, but again, she seems to have already had some time to develop, and it's.
Yeah, because yeah, doesn't I mean, even, seem good even, so far. Braun Breaker. Listen, he could be a big star. Maybe he will be a big star. But his uncle shines a huge light. And I know it's not his dad, but it's still his family. You know? Like, all right. I mean, and, oh, by the way, Samoans don't count. So that they're not part of this argument in any respect. So I guess we shouldn't have mentioned the Rock's daughter at all.
Isn't she
Hawaiian and?
She sticks out because she hasn't surpassed someone or at least been as good as.
Yeah, which I guess we should shut up. She probably will. So, but yeah, no. So it's yeah. So yeah, I forgot that. I didn't think about that rule. Yeah, Samoans are automatically disqualified. That's not fair. So,
yeah. Somehow that problem has skipped the whole Samoan dynasty.
Yeah. Yep. And it just sometimes it's just a matter of time. And other times, it just, you know, it's awesome. So, but yeah, like even like Braun Breaker, he's got a mountain to climb. Von Wagner, his dad, like you don't even remember. And really, most people remember them as the Hollywood Blondes? No. What the hell was they called? Oh, the Beverly Brothers.
Oh.
Most people don't even remember the Beverly Brothers, but he's...
Yeah.
You know, Jensen, you know, his dad was Bull Buchanan.
Oh.
Or is, I'm sorry, is. He's not dead. Is Bulby Cannon.
Wow. All that hair distracted me. The second you said that, I'm like, oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah. And then Charlie Dempsey's William Regal's.
Yeah, that one's kind of obvious. I feel like.
He's one of those guys, like, I didn't know. So you look at him and go, God, he looks familiar. And then he's got his dad's rubber face, too. Like, I don't know if he's going to be able to get to where his dad was. Like, the comedic aspect of William Regal was always top-notch.
Oh.
And then when he wanted to be a badass, he could be a badass. So it's like, all right. But
I've liked his character here recently. Like,
yes, I've enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, him and Thea Hale and Drew Gulak seem to work very well as a threesome.
Oh yeah, that whole I thought the whole Chase U thing was going a different direction, and it's funny how Duke is now becoming the teacher. Like, Duke's not going to turn.
Yeah, I'd be kind of surprised if he turns at this point.
Well, speaking of people who don't work for the company, but...
Oh, it's a Guile showed up, huh?
When does Zack Sabre go platinum blonde?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw him wrestle, and I'm just like, what the fuck? When did he turn into Guile? Like, I don't get this. He's British, too. Like, why are you trying to steal an American gimmick, sir? Hold on, and why is Daniel Garcia taller than even Zack Sabre?
I think that's perspective, by the way. I think that's just, he's just close to the camera. That's, you know, poorly shot, but it's AEW, so. But no, to get back to it. Though.
He's got to be on a box or something like that.
No, it's forced perspective.
Daniel Garcia is like 5'1".
If they stand side by side, Zack Sabre will be taller, so.
They are beside each other.
No, he's in the background.
He's got to be on a box.
If you're in the foreground, you're going to be bigger than the person in the background.
I understand this. You're
fucking with me. I know what I'm talking about, dummy. I didn't say he's going to tower over him. You know, but... Oh, sorry. Anyways, what the fuck were we talking about? God damn it.
The Samoan dynasty and how they are blowing our other arguments out of the water about the... about the next generation not being,
We're talking about, Brooks Jensen, his dad was Bull Buchanan, that's right.
Yeah.
Charlie Dempsey,
Thea Hale and, those three, and where Chase U was going.
Because it was always, all right, when's Duke gonna turn? When's Duke gonna turn? And it's like, he still hasn't. And now he's adopted the teacher role, where he hasn't wrestled in weeks. And he's, like, grading papers. It's the weirdest thing. Like, this storyline did not go the way everyone
thought. Oh, like, and he is being the one to defend Thea Hale and pretty much the teachings of Chase U.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, hold on. Or especially this week, where they're just like, oh, are you being too hard on her? And she's like, no, man, I've got this. Like... Her on caffeine 24/7 thing is annoying and hilarious all at the same time.
Especially when you get a backstage segment with her and Tiffany Stratton, and you're like, oh God. One's just hyper annoying, one's just annoying. Like, that's the most positive way to look at it.
Yeah,
it's like she's doing her job.
Yeah, she is bitchy. I would go with she's bitchy annoying.
Yeah, because Tiffany Stratton sucks, man. That character's horrible. And that's a compliment, obviously. So,
yeah.
I'll never forget just her saying, you suck. It's not my fault you suck at life. Like, they use that in a wrestling promo. She's on a Wendy Chu. I'll never forget that because it popped me big. I was like, God, that's great. I mean, it was an old comeback or whatever, or old, you know, mean girl thing, but it's still funny.
Right.
Especially in the context of talking to somebody who dresses in pajamas and is always tired.
And then, like, sleeping in the middle of a match.
Yeah. Boy, I don't miss her at all.
I don't miss that character. I hope Wendy Chu becomes a successful professional wrestler, though.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with the person. Yeah. So.
Well, and I liked her in, because she's another one that she came over from ROH, and I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be great. And
they wanted to make a female knockoff of Orange Cassidy, not understanding the Orange Cassidy gimmick.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm glad Blair Davenport's on more. I hope she wrestles more so that it keeps other women, female performers off TV. It was a rough week for the NXT women. Tatum Paxley?
Oh,
that's rough. That was rough.
Roxanne Perez and Tatum Paxley.
Yeah. Damn near killing Roxanne. And then Cora Jade, the character's better. I just wish she was. So, can anyone explain to me why in the middle of your match you go outside and grab your black kendo stick and just hold it above your head and slowly walk to the other person?
Knowing full well that you're not in AEW and the referee will take it away from you.
Yeah, or disqualify you. You know, but it's like that, Tatum Paxley doing like the Frankenstein monster walk, trying to get into a lockup that misses. Oh, God, who else? What else? There was some other, it was just bad news for the women that were featured this week. Not all of them.
Roxanne's still Roxanne.
Right, yeah. I mean, she's fine. Blair Davenport was fine. Who did she fight? I don't remember.
She didn't actually have it. She just had a promo this week. Like
promo? She broke down a map of all the assaults she perpetrated and how easy it was. And I was like, wait a second. Tony D's in jail. We don't even know what evidence they have on him. But this woman can just come on and go, oh, yeah, attacked her right here, attacked her right here. Oh, this was the easiest one because no one's around. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
Like, you guys, fantasy world is over here. You can't stop in the middle and make it real like she's here to beat, like take all the women out. And then go, all right, yeah, I'm going to be number one. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is how I did it. Ominous me. I'm like, which is what Chase U was kind of doing, by the way, to round it back for a second.
Oh.
There's still fantasy world. None of that makes any sense.
No.
So, and they don't try to, but they were also pointed out, they touch it with reality. Like Drew Gulak's like, well, you got lucky you won a battle royal. You didn't even do a lockup. She's like, I'll lock it up. And they all start doing it. And it's like, what is this goofy shit?
I guess the Blair Davenport stuff was, I liked a lot of their, those types of segments that they had this week. Cause I feel like they had a handful of video packages. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Stacks, of course.
Well, yeah, you had the Stacks one, and what was the other one? Oh, the one with the new tag team. I can't think of the men's tag team that they introduced. If they were Puerto Ricans or Cubans, maybe.
I forget already.
I'm trying to scroll through this. But anyway, but it was another, like, there were what? Does that make four different segments on the show?
Von Wagner. We can't forget that
one. Oh, yeah. The Von Wagner one, the assault one. Yeah, like, I really enjoyed all of those and have enjoyed all of them in general. Oh, yeah, the Stax one. Okay, yeah. So there's four, at least four of them, unless we're forgetting one.
Which I'm sure we are.
Yeah, so, but yeah, those were really enjoyable. Like, yeah, it was ridiculous that they decided to have her admit the crimes.
Yeah.
That evidently no one is going to press charges on.
Yeah, it's like it was me the whole time. Like, okay. Oh, so, all right. So you have that. Los Lotharios showing up. Like, that's actually a better spot for them right now. They weren't being used at all. So it's like, all right. What else was there on this? Oh, okay. So it's Idris Onofe. And what's the
part? Malik Blade.
Okay, Malik was the one that never wore a shirt, right? That looked like an action figure, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Or was it Idris? Regardless, the guy who wore sweaters all the time, whose dumb decision was that? That guy looks like that guy's an action figure himself. I was like, what are you covering up that for? I'm shocked. I don't remember him wrestling without a shirt. He came out, he's fucking jacked.
I do feel like he wrestled without a shirt, but, and they did explain the sweater thing at some point.
Yeah, it was for his dad or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
But you're right. I was just like, oh my God, that guy is a monster. Like,
yeah, they both are, yes. It was crazy.
And they both have good personalities. I'm like, yep. Do they just not wrestle well? Like, what am I missing here? Like, these guys seem great.
Yeah, they seem fine by me. And now, the match they had, though, didn't make much sense. So, they're supposed to be in there, like, putting each other to the test, right? Like, they keep saying, like, Briggs and Jensen, you know, they fought to, like, toughen each other up, which is not the case.
Oh, no.
They fought because Jensen was pussy-whipped. Or his pussy puppy, whatever you want to call it. So, he breaks out and he's like, all right, well...
Is that what the new term for it is?
I just came up with that, by the way.
Oh, okay, so, great.
I was going to say he was a puppy dog, and I just said the first word first. I'm like, just go with it. You know me, it's how my brain works. So, well, yeah. So, then, the next week's like, you know, the two doofuses...
Yeah.
The bouncer and the energetic dude.
Yeah, Hank and Tank.
Yes, that's right. They decide, because they're stupid, they're like, hey, they beat each other up, let's beat each other up. Okay? And these two apparently saw the same thing. We're like, yeah, let's have a match together. But then they were going at it like they hated each other. So that was kind of weird.
I was kind of with, this was one of the few times I'm like, Booker T is making sense to me right now. Which is, you know, he was going, hey, Hank and Tank, because I don't think he was calling out the fact that Briggs and Jensen had a legitimate, you know, beef that needed to be settled or at least, you know, resolved. Just because it really wasn't between those two per se. But Hank and Tank and them, he meant, you know, Booker kept on saying that they were new and it made sense maybe to just kind of test each other out because like they're just beginning as a tag team, but Onofe and Blade have been together so long. Like, what's the use of it? Like, and
yeah.
Honestly, I'm just sitting there going, yeah, Booker T is actually killing this one right now.
Yep.
Like, I am with him.
Did you hear Vic get annoyed with him finally during the show?
Vic gets annoyed with him, like, every third week, and it's hilarious.
It just seemed like this week he had enough. He's like, would you stop it already? That's what he said.
Yes, I do remember him saying
that. I was going to text you that. Like, did I just hear this right?
Yes, you did.
So I'm like, wow. Like, just cut it out. So I'm like, yeah, Booker T's doing this on purpose. It's clear as day he's doing this on purpose.
Oh.
So,
But yeah, one of the few times I'm like, hold on, this is actual good logic. And the other thing that I thought was a good piece of logic out of him, like, I guess if you thought they were really going at it, like they hated each other, I'm kind of with Booker T where that pinfall looked a little suspect to me. Whoever ended up with their shoulders down, I feel like did not really commit to trying to kick out.
Yeah, yeah. But I believe it was Inoue went over the ropes and did the the swan dive out and just splatted on the ground. I was like, damn. You guys are young. Don't be doing that. Don't do it when you're old either. Yeah, like that was. Oh, wow. Sonata's going against Jack Perry at Forbidden Door. That holds no interest whatsoever.
Oh, with Hook in his corner?
Sure, whatever. But anyways, I was just saying, I did not expect Sonata to be the one, Jungle Boy to be the one going against Sonata. That's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, especially since they've just decided to de-push him to the point where he's in a tag team now.
Yeah, but he's got his black leather jacket, so we know what's going to happen. So... But, yeah, it's, like, that whole thing, I did love the chaos of the interview afterwards with Los Lotharios in the crow's nest or whatever.
Yeah.
She's interviewing them, and they're fighting in the ring. Like, what the hell's going on? Did they miss a cue to stop fighting, or, like, the camera shot get messed up, or...
Yeah, that seemed like a really awkward segment, because, A, I guess I thought I was going to hear Los Lotharios go, yeah, we deserve to be in this match. That did not happen. if that did not happen, I maybe expected them to join the fray some way or another. Also, did not happen.
Yeah.
So
they announce it as a triple threat. Immediately, they interview somebody else, and they go, "Hey, we want in too." It's like, eh? Okay. And while the three teams are fighting, by the way, which cracks me up. So,
yeah, it was. I mean, it was funny backdrop funny backdrop happenings.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, but it reminded me kind of. I remember when Maki Ito was in AEW for a little bit. And she was singing during a match.
Oh, yes.
It was terrible. But it was also so chaotic. Like, what in the hell is going on here? It's not to the same level in any way, but it just reminded me of that. Like, trying to do an interview and there's people fighting in the background.
Yeah, so. Speaking of that, did you see that segment with the woman from I believe it was a Miami... Miami TV company that was covering the Stanley Cup Finals, and she had to pie face a Vegas fan out of her shot.
No.
It's hilarious. Like, she's got to push the guy. I'm assuming that it's a guy, because her hand is well above her own head and seeming to push someone away. And she never breaks eye contact with the camera and keeps on talking the whole time, too, while she's using her right hand to fend someone off. Hilarious.
I'm going to it now. I just saw it. She's a tiny woman, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the kind of the situation that I had in mind. Of what you were just talking about.
I'll see this thing. Come on, Twitter. Be good for something. Samantha Rivera. CBS Miami. Let's see. Some sound here. Oh, yeah. So before the game.
Oh. Why did I think it happened after the game?
That tiny ass woman is pushing her on the stop. You pussy. She should have fallen down trying to push. That dude must have been hammered, which I'm sure he was.
Yes, I am assuming that whomever that was intoxicated.
That little lady weighs 80 pounds and pushed you out of the way like you were a feather. God damn. Watch out. So anyways, back to NXT. What's going on with Baron Corbin? Can anyone answer what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
he was
like
in basketball shorts. I was making a joke about a rec league uniform. And this week he's legitimately in plain basketball shorts.
I have no idea what's going on with that. Like, of all of the people that have popped back into NXT, like, I could probably make a lot of Dana Brooke jokes.
Yeah.
It still seems like a better spot for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I really don't, because that was one where Booker T's like, oh, Corbin's back to dominate again. I'm like, he didn't dominate in the first place. Like, he wasn't here long enough to dominate. Like, he was on for 2 months, and then they're like, oh, yeah, you're getting the main roster call-up. Okay.
Yeah, Corbin was there a little bit longer than you remember, actually. But he also had his string of matches where he was winning in, like, 30 seconds. Remember, the crowd would count? Crowd would count how many seconds had gone by before the match ended. So he had that, and then he beat Samoa Joe at some pay-per-view. I think it was in England. One of their pay-per-views back then. So it's just like, he's there a little bit longer. He did do well, then he didn't. Then he was gone. So, but it's like, it's just gotten worse as he's gone on. You know, he went from down on his luck Corbin to happy Corbin to this, which is just like, what is he now? I don't understand.
He was there for 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
September 11, 2014 to 2016. Or like maybe a year and a half. I'm not seeing when he...
Yeah, but I don't understand what he is now. Why I'm supposed to even care about him. It's a matter of booking. Like, it's just what's going on.
Well, and I'm looking at this picture of him against Rhino in 2015, and I'm sitting here going, maybe I understand why he was the next big thing. He's pulled the Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, where it's just like, what happened to your physique, sir?
Yep. You're on the main roster, too. I mean,
he looks like a monster beating on Rhino in this Wikipedia picture. And I'm like, I kind of forgot that he used to be a big guy.
Yeah. And the problem, though, is he's an NXT. He's a big dude. You go to the main roster, you're not the biggest dude anymore. You know?
Well, he's just tall now.
Yeah, that really is it.
Yeah, he's lost all the weight, and again, like, he hasn't exactly gotten ripped. Like, he's just kind of a big dude that, kind of works out, and then just barbecues the rest of the time.
Yeah, you think with all the protein he's chowing down, it turned into muscle mass, but it's like, I don't know, we don't know, and this is like, even seeing Adam Cole earlier, I thought about this. Like, we don't know what goes on with most of these guys and gals.
Oh.
You know? So there may be something preventing him from working harder or from his workouts taking. Because sometimes you can go all out and the results aren't going to be there. But, I guess it's me being nice. Because I'm
for
also
change.
Like... Shut up. I know it's kind of weird. That's why you're like, what the hell? Where are you going with this? I'm like, no, there's no smart ass here. There will be eventually, but it's like, I don't know if that's the case, but like, just with Adam Cole, especially today, I forgot to mention this. He looked really, really tiny. And that's just MJF.
MJF has stacked on some. He's stacked on the WWE weight. It's just in case he gets that call. Because, again, like, he's always going to have a verticality problem. That does not get solved no matter how many weights you lift.
No. Although, don't they have, on a totally random note, sort of, don't they have leg extension surgery or something?
Oh, my God. Yes. People have started featuring that on Twitter recently. Because there was some guy that flew to Switzerland recently to have his legs extended 7 inches. And I think he was still only 5'9". And I'm just like...
7 inches?
I'm like, you poor bastard. Like, I don't get to see anything better at 5'9". You may as well stay 5'2". Like,
wow.
I by no means am tall, so you dummy, that is entirely too much money to still not be an average height.
7 inches? That's nuts. You have to learn how to walk all over again.
Yeah, and I believe that is the case.
Oh my God. I'm like walking, driving, just
yeah,
everything.
There is some extensive therapy.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to look goofy as hell.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Because that's what drives the chicks nuts. I can only speak for, you know, that side of it. Yeah, I like a guy with really long legs and nothing else. Like, okay.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just don't do it, kids.
No, just be who you are. Jesus Christ, enough. Anyways, but yeah, so, but I don't get Corbin. Like, he's, all right, I will say this. He's making Mello look like $1 million, which is not that hard anyways, really. Like,
yeah, you're helping someone who everyone seems to think is going to be great look even better. Like, okay. Yeah. Like,
congrats.
Yeah, this was kind of expected here. Like,
yeah, you didn't make him look terrible. Thank you. So, but I mean, yeah, I guess he didn't have to. You know, like a guy, all right, so a guy who's coming in and making people look really good is Ali.
Oh.
Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Mustafa. Is it? Are they just calling him Ali again?
I don't know. Okay. I'm gonna see what the old review here. He got Mustafa back at some point.
Yeah, so then they started calling him Mustafa. You remember that whole fiasco?
Yeah, they are saying Mustafa Ali. All right,
good. All right. So, did you see that corner bump I texted you about?
That, like, I don't know how he continued in that match.
I don't know how he was awake. Like,
yeah.
Alright, so he clearly did not hit it as hard as we think he did.
Yeah, because it to me, it wasn't even really the turnbuckle hit that concerned me. It was the backlash to the mat that really caught my attention. And I know that they talk and they reduce, but I'm like, dude, you're like, he really went in at a high rate of speed, and you know, it's the old you know, laws of reaction here, kids. You know, there is going to be energy coming back that other direction, and oof, that looked tough.
Yeah, and even like the referee jumped in immediately. I'm like, uh oh.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, I'm good. Like, you are? Wow. Maybe it was the hair that helped.
Yeah, well, I mean, it did help that he did get to take at least a little bit of a break there after that bump.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Because I don't think he was legal. He might not have been legal in the match at the time.
Exactly. Like, I didn't understand where the other referee comes from to stop the count.
The only referee that's on standby ever.
I was like, what just happened here? What is this?
I would prefer a draw over that happening ever again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, yeah, there are definitely more egregious errors that in refereeing that happen. I mean, heck, they even highlighted one within the show itself, honestly, with Damon Kemp and Eddie Thorpe having their kind of little segment backstage.
And I like how he said, I'll do any kind of match you want. He goes, any match, huh? And I was like, what's that supposed to mean? Like,
and why am I supposed... I don't care what type of match. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to get that hyped for an Eddie Thorpe versus Damon Kemp match.
No.
You could name it... I was trying to come up with something creative on a pole match, but it is escaping my memory. Michelle Rodriguez on a pole match or something. Like, I... Okay, you know.
I was kind of had a little thing for her, so, you know. But I don't think she barks the other team, though, right?
I believe so.
Well, it doesn't stop me. It doesn't matter.
Nope.
Beauty's beauty. Don't matter to me.
Yep.
So, amen to that. Hot as hell, too. So.
anywho.
Like, these conversations, though. Like, well, yeah, you know, don't matter if she plays for the other team. She's hot. It's like, it wouldn't matter if she didn't. You know? Like, you ain't getting two looks, stupid. So, you know?
It's well, that's just a guy thing. That is also true. That was not going to happen one way or another.
Yeah.
Mr. Average was not going to hit above his weight that high.
Yeah. Well, you know, if she wasn't in Hollywood, yeah, don't worry about it. Shut up, stupid. But anyways.
Yeah. Damon Kemp, Eddie Thorpe, don't care what the stip is next week.
No, and the bad thing is I like Damon Kemp. That dude's pretty fun.
Yeah, he seems enjoyable. He's the guy that got lost in the shuffle, and I don't completely know why.
He's lost a lot of weight, right? He looks far skinnier.
I don't know. He's definitely grown that mullet out.
Yes, he has. Which I guess is that the NXT thing now? Because that's a couple of them doing that.
There is way too much pride in mullets these days.
Yeah, I don't.
There is a national mullet championship, and as someone that lived through the actual mullet era and sported one, not cool. Everyone in the United States, not cool.
Yeah, see, I wasn't allowed to have a mullet. My mom, I had a tail for a while. Remember those dumb things?
Oh, the rat tail.
Yeah, mine never got too long because after a while I went, this is stupid. I just cut it off. But she even said you were not allowed to grow your hair long in the back. I could grow it long all over. That was no problem. But it was like not just the back. And I was like, okay, I didn't want to do that anyways. But now that you said I can't. So
yeah, well, I got the opposite. Was not allowed to have all long hair, but business in the front and party in the back was a-okay.
Why, you know,
in the old household.
God, parents are weird. My mom thought I got my ear pierced one time. I had a zit or a pimple, whatever they're called now, and it was
a blemish.
And it was nasty and, like, broke, like, you know, they pop, whatever. So there's a scab there. And we're eating. I'll never forget this. I was working at McDonald's, and she came in, and I was like, oh, so I'm, like, on my lunch break, like, having dinner with her, whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
She looks at me, and with, like, serious anger, she goes, like, did you pierce your ear? And I'm like, what? I was like, no. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I see you've got, like, the hole for the stud right there. I'm like, what? I was like, no, I had a zit or something. She's like, just. I'm like, is it that egregious of a thing if I did? Like, I've never wanted my ear pierced, so that's not a big deal.
Yeah, I don't think the parents had that reaction when Ron went for the stud in the left ear, you know, because he had to, if you didn't want to be known as Gi back in the day there, you had to go leftier only if you were
going to... I was going to ask you which one it was. You know what? It might have been my right ear. Maybe that's why. That old goofy urban legend.
Yes, that was an urban legend, or what do you want to say... Phobia at the time was out there.
For sure, of course, but I don't think that was actually real, though.
That's no.
Thing.
No.
So. But yeah, that was just so damn sad. I'm like, Mom, if you knew what I was doing when you weren't home, don't worry about it. I'm not falling on that side of the earring, okay? So. Nathan Frazier's the new Heritage Cup champion.
That, of all the strange things that happened on NXT this week, that's kind of up there, honestly. Yeah. The fact that Noam Dar protected it greatly, but then just had someone else defend it, like, it really, and then they questioned whether Noam Dar had an injury or not, and I'm like, oh, okay, well then he doesn't have an injury, right? Like, that's the way this works, huh?
Yeah.
And then he loses, and I'm just like, huh? Like,
yes.
Like, there was everything confusing about that segment. Everything was confusing.
I'm just wondering if the list leads like Noam Dar next week going, how can the champion not lose his own title? You know, it's just like stuff like that.
I mean,
he gave permission.
It's easy heel fodder.
Oh, sure, yeah. With his circus act, whatever that is. That's the weirdest, collection of people to do, you know? I know we talked about last week a little bit, but it's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching into this, too.
Yeah, it's a little bit... The end of AEW, quite the schmoz here.
I'll give them credit. They remembered stuff. So...
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing, though, is, like, the Young Bucks, Omega, like, they always have a pretty sound logic for the stuff they're doing. So, like,
yep, it is. All right, Will Ospreay. All right. But, so, like, when they're involved with, like, their stuff, they have stuff laid out and it makes sense. So, like, if they want Eddie Kingston to come down, then, it is Moxley's friend. So, yeah, you got some, like, other stuff, but it's just, like, the rest of the show doesn't make any sense. So.
Yeah, their logic, hell, it's kind of funny that the Young Bucks wrestling, to me, is what holds them back. It's not necessarily the logic that they use in their promo building and that type of thing.
That's spot on, dude. Yeah, you're right. Like, when they're done wrestling, if they wanted to, they could be guys, like, bookers, whatever you want to call them now, writers.
Oh.
They really could. If they would put the same passion for somebody else's stuff into the stuff that they have for themselves, they could be, pretty detailed, pretty good writers.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't keep that BTE thing running as long as they have and get that many fans without, you know, some type of production quality and knowing how to tell a story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know we rip on it for being like, being the elite and all that stuff as well.
That's one of those, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, where they're expecting people to watch that, and then they make fun of people for saying, hey, like, we need some of this info on Dynamite. Like, we just do. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can't. Like, I think that's just a bad position by them, honestly. Like, it's just like, no, like, we can't just have a story pop up and you expect all of these fans to have watched it.
No, no, you're exactly right. Yeah, Will Ospreay's a badass, dude. Like he looks like a legit wrestler. It's pretty crazy.
Speaking of a gentleman who has added some weight. That man has become quite a beast after being a high flyer to start. Because it was him and Ricochet that had that like really really famous interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
that people are like, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Is this really wrestling?
Yeah, it's like, well, it is.
Yes, because it happened wrestling. In a professional wrestling event, sir.
It doesn't mean you have to like it, but yes, of course it is.
But yes, it is wrestling.
Yeah, like I don't like death matches, but it is wrestling, sort of.
I don't want to see a reverse chin lock for 10 minutes. You know what? That was a large part of my childhood, watching wrestling.
Watching some of those old ones. Like, you watched, like Prime Time. Like, it's a Monday show. It was all, like, footage from, like, Madison Square Garden or Maple Leaf Gardens. And it is 15 minutes of, I'm sorry, 10 out of 15 minutes of headlock, choke, like, chin lock, all that stuff. It's like, God damn. We love this stuff, huh? But it was really... It was the angles.
Yes.
The angles.
Yeah. To go back to the strong suit of the Bucks. Yes. Angles are something that they seem to be good at. And if they could apply that to their own product in the future, I think that that would be a good thing. More than likely, it'd be a good thing.
Yes. I think it would, yes. If they have it will depend on the passion they have to give to somebody else that they give to themselves and the people they're working with. That would be the big thing for me.
Yeah.
And then also have somebody reining in the in-ring work. Because I guess that's in-ring, it's not angles. So.
Yeah, that's why their best stuff was with New Japan. Because they're just like, no, you don't get free reign here. Like, we're going to do the angle the way we want to do the angle here, guys. Mm-hmm. And there was the whole, hey, at least beef up a little bit to win the Not Juniors Championship.
Which they just decided, well, we don't need to worry about that here.
Yes, yeah. Because they haven't done an Adam Cole. They've just decided to go back to the size that they prefer.
Yeah. Well, Matt's still, like, relatively beefy.
Yeah.
But Nick is just thinned out big time.
Yeah, Nick seemed to add on more weight than Matt did, but Matt's has been a little bit stockier just from Jump Street.
Yeah, so, but yeah, and I think that was all for NXT, right?
The only thing that we didn't really talk about that another thing that I can't talk enough about in some ways, the whole Stax backstage segment or vignette with him trying to figure out who framed the Don.
Oh, yeah.
Just, it's absurd, but it's hilarious, and it has its own internal logic, at least. And, yeah. I really enjoyed that. It seems, though, like it really does need to be someone not Gallus who is the rat.
It really does.
But I don't know who you guilt tripped to becoming the rat in this situation.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody that could be because it's the two of them. There's nobody else.
Yeah, and they even mentioned the two, what did he say, like, those fishes don't swim anymore, or something like that? He's talking about Pretty Deadly.
Hey, you remember that prescription, oh my god, that subscription to Peacock he was talking about? You can see that Pretty Deadly's still alive on SmackDown. I know it's a Raw show, but you'll still see, they're live and well. So, and like, I did like the Dimes tribute, it was like, nah, No way. He's a drone or something. And then the only thing, I don't remember his name, but remember the guy that christened Tony D the Don? He was like some reality guy that they were using.
Oh, yeah, AJ something or another, yeah.
Could it possibly be him? Like, Tony D's gotten too big for his britches or something. I don't know if they want to bring this guy back. I don't know who he was to begin with, so I don't know what he is now. You know?
Yeah, that's one where, A, it'd be a hell of a callback if they decided to go that route. But yeah, I don't remember who that was, and I don't really care, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So, but it would work. Like, that's one of the few choices, honestly, that would work as a, you know, as an angle.
But it's like, also, what's the payoff, though? You can't wrestle, you know? So, it's like, all right, so that's the only reason I would disqualify that one.
Yeah. The only thing that he can do is bring in his own heavy to deal with Tony D.
Yeah.
At this point, though, Tony D and Stax seemed kind of together at the hip, and it's just like, why at this point, after pushing them into the tag division, do you throw Tony D'Angelo back into the singles ring?
Yeah.
You know, to me, that doesn't really follow. But, I mean, yeah, again, like, it's one of the few choices to me that actually works.
Yeah, it just because there's no one else.
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't really a lot of good choices. Because it's almost like, in some ways, the whole Blair Davenport thing, it's almost like, hey, we decided to put all three of these crimes on this person. You know, yeah. I don't know if all three of those people are getting ready to come back, so she's going to have built-in feuds after the Roxanne Perez stuff.
No, Rooka's not. She's out for a while.
Yeah, I guess she does have the ACL, so that is not going to be anytime soon. What?
I think Wendy Chu is a shoulder.
Oh yeah, I don't recall the other two injuries for Nikita or for Wendy Chu.
Well, Nikita was a legit knee. Sal Rocha was as well, and I believe Wendy Chu was a legit shoulder injury, which is why she's been gone too. So I don't know if any of them are getting ready to come back anytime soon, but I know what you mean, though.
Well, yeah, and then I agree. Like, it's, but yeah, that's the kind of level of, like, just kind of, I think the kids call that retconning these days. You know, you're almost putting the logic in there, even though it wasn't there to start with. Because, honestly, none of those women were really that close to the championship to be in Blair Davenport's way, honestly. So, but yeah, the Stack stuff, it'll be interesting to see where they end up with that. But
yeah.
I guess I'm not terribly concerned, but yeah, no one seems like a good choice. So that was the only other thing that I wanted to talk about on NXT week.
But I guess there's nobody else. Isn't it just Joe Coffey and Gallus? You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just that simple. Just like Tony D was saying, oh my God, I'm spewing lines from the storyline. Jesus, oh my God. So,
oh man, do you want to head on out of here then?
Yeah, let's get out. So,
you were drinking water, I believe I heard before the show. No beverage on your side.
It's a deload for deadlifts this week, so.
Okie dokie.
Proper hydrated.
On the
road to 600 still.
Well, this is a week of getting to beers from Indianapolis, the trip for the honeymoon this past year. And this one was from Scarlet Lane Brewing, which happened to end up being my favorite beer or brewery there. They are the official beer of horror and do a lot of horror-themed beers and events throughout the year, not just around Halloween time. So if you do like the horror aspect of things, drop in on them. They have multiple actual locations in the Indianapolis area. And this beer happens to be their Slasher 3, and it is their pumpkin seed ale with lactose, caramel, and cinnamon. It is delicious. Definitely one of those, it just kind of has like a, well, A, it's 4% alcohol, so it drinks super easy. And it has like a nice light taste to it. Like it is not super overwhelming, but because it isn't high alcohol, a lot of that stuff comes through in a lot smaller doses. And I really, really like it. And it's not overly pumpkin-y, really. There is some in there from the pumpkin seed, but more of the lactose and caramel and cinnamon come through, and it's a really good kind of spiced ale situation. So that is the Belltime Beer from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Mays. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Hey, gang.